Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this beautiful evening. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sun as it glistens upon the snow that we have. We do thank you for the warmer temperatures coming too. Lord, we thank you for the tremendous bounty of your hand and all the provisions that you've given and blessed us with in our lives. Lord, we thank you for walking with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, we thank you for never leaving us. Lord, we thank you for sending your Son. And we thank you for his resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit now to be with our contemplation, with our preaching, and with this word, and do with it as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. I might try to change this out. I can't see.
I'll be okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Well, when Scripture comes down to us on a given Sunday, sometimes it can feel like it's kind of pulled out of thin air. You wonder, what was before that, you know, and what was after that when they're just printed in our, you know, celebrate inserts the way they are. And that's especially true tonight of tonight's second reading from 1 Corinthians, because it talks about the passing of the way of the present world, which seems like a text about the end times, right? And yet it's grounded in this very specific teaching that Paul is doing on sex and marriage in the very specific book or letter to the church of Corinth, a real church that Paul was writing to in the first century. And so let's look at Corinth real quick to get a little bit of grounding of where tonight's scripture comes from. Corinth was a worldly city, and it was a wealthy one for a long time, even in, you know, ancient times before Paul established a church there. And it was destroyed in 146 BC. And then about 100 years after that, Julius Caesar ordered it to be rebuilt and revived in 44 BC, and then it was rebuilt and became, you know, just as popular and populous as it was a city prior to its destruction. And it's a port city, and so that means that ships were coming in and out of that city all the time. So it was a trading city. There was a lot of business, commercial business, these ships bringing things, and imports and exports. And so one of the words that comes to mind when I tried to put into one word what the church was struggling with and what Paul felt they were struggling with was transience. And that's a word that just means, you know, here at this moment and gone the next. And so I think the ships are really nice metaphor for the culture of Corinth. It was a very transient culture. Kind of whatever here, you know, this moment, gone the next. And that's not something that usually fits that well with the gospel, right? With faith. Because as we talked about in the children's sermon, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And Jesus talks about how the scriptures and the law, not one dot or iota will fall off of that. Those are very permanent things, right? And yet Corinth was a very transient town. And I think that conflict between the culture of Corinth and what Paul was trying to do through the scriptures and church was a conflict. And he was trying to teach them then about what it meant to be sexually pure and also in a committed marriage and what that looks like. And the big thing that he wants to teach is that whatever topic it is, it doesn't have to be sex and marriage, it could be any topic, whatever that topic is, it should be seen in the light of the eternal kingdom of God. And so he was challenging that transient kind of idea with the eternal kingdom of God. And so he has, in the chapter 7 that we don't get to see, he says, if you're single and you're able to remain sexually pure, then please stay single, because that's what Paul is. And he says, that's a great thing. Do that if you can. And he says, it's a good thing because you can stay more focused on God. You can be ready for the end times when they come. And I guess his way of saying you'll be more devoted or more radical as a Christian and a follower of God if you don't have a family. And my ethics teacher in seminary made a joke about being radical and having a family. This was back in the 90s. And he said, honey, I can't go blow up the power plant tonight. I got to sit for the kids. And so what he meant by that was, if you have a family, you're going to be tied to the things of this world more than if you don't. And so what I think, as a parent, I've learned is that that's very true. You're taking kids to school. You're feeding them. You're putting them to bed, right? You're caring for them, et cetera, et cetera. And those things tie you down to the world in a lot of ways, Paul's trying to say. So, hey, if you can stay single, he says, then do that. But if you can't, then marry. There's no sin against that, right? He says, that's good too. So do that. And then finally, he says, if you're committed to a path of singleness or married life, then stay on that path, whatever it is. You know, if you're married, of course, don't try to get divorced and become single in order to, you know, don't do that, right, he says. And if you're single, you know, don't look to be married unless you're tempted and you're conflicted, and then you can marry, and that's okay too. So in these very specific, grounded teachings about sex and marriage, Paul kind of summarizes this with this. This is 1 Corinthians 7:17 before our passage today. Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. And then in 19b, keeping God's commands is what counts. And so Paul is trying to tell Corinth and their transient culture to be grounded into the eternal word of God, not to the transient culture of Corinth, which was sexually permissive in all kinds of ways. And they fought against that culture in many ways. It also taught that there was no resurrection of the body. That was completely foreign to Greeks. And Corinth was originally a Greek place. And so Paul was working against that as well. They understood, or the Greeks believed, that just the spirit would rise, that the body was just a shell. But Jesus rose bodily. And the scriptures teach that one day we will too, as well. So Paul had a lot to work against in this transient culture to make it more one that was in the church, grounded in God's word and beliefs. And so Paul comes today to remind the church in Corinth. And I really think the church in Corinth is very similar to the church in the world. you know, not just little St. Mark's, but, you know, we're talking about church with a big C. I think at least the church, and the church in America, I think, is very similar to the church in Corinth as well, with the challenges that it faces. And Paul comes to remind the church of Corinth, I think, is very similar to the church in the world or in America, to see all things, whatever it is. There's a specific teaching up here about sex and marriage. That's just one topic. Whatever the topic is, see it in light of the kingdom of God, because of 1 Corinthians 7:31, which says, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. Bear with me on this story. This story is one that I feel called to tell tonight, and it has an application, but it comes at the very end. So you're going to be thinking, what in the world is he talking about? But just bear with me for a minute. So in 2008, I bought a kayak. It was a used kayak, but I was excited to get into kayaking. And a friend of mine from school, my old school Westfield, got one too. And so that fall and that summer and fall, we went kayaking many times. And it's good to have someone to do that with for many reasons, safety-wise, but also because you got to put your one of the cars at the end, because you can't, once you get there, you'll have no way to get home, because originally you started at the other place, right? Way down the river. So it's good to have a car at the end. So we put our cars at the end at Mill Race Park in Columbus. He put his car there, and I drove to the put-in place in Flat Rock. It's the Flat Rock River, and it was also a little town called Flat Rock. And that's where we put in to start this. Now, it's important to know that the date of this trip was December 29th, 2008. We started off and the trip was going great. We paddled for a few miles, probably 4, 5, 6 miles or something like that, and then stopped for lunch and found a little eddy that we could, you know, kind of stay in our kayaks but eat our lunch that we had in our dry storage bins behind us and in front of us on our kayaks, our bulkheads. And we had our lunch, and then we got back on the river again, and we're paddling along. And if you don't know a kayak paddle, it's different than a canoe paddle. It has actually a paddle on both ends of it, and you hold it like this in the middle, and you kind of do this with it. So unlike a canoe, in which you'll have a handle up top and you kind of dig, the kayak is held like this, and then you kind of do this with it. You paddle on each end. And we're paddling along. And all of a sudden, my friend is gone. And I look back, and he's in the water clutching to a branch of tree that happened to be there. And his kayak is passing me as it goes on. The other thing I haven't told you is that the water was just below flood stage. And it was completely brown. And you couldn't see a whole lot in it. And of course, it was high. And so the current was, at times, pretty quick. And he was frightened. I told him, you know, let go, because there was a bend in the river. And he would have floated on to the bank. And we would have been able to get out. Well, he was too scared to do that. And so I turned my kayak around and I went against the current with all my might. And it was hard, so that he could grab the prow of my boat with his hand, which these kayaks kind of come up and come to a point, and it's a kind of a small point. He wanted to hold that. He wanted something to hold on to. So I went and got, you know, all my strength to get him up there, to get that prow of my boat so he could hold it with his hand, and then he'd have something to hold on to. Well, as I was doing this, I was like, I'm going in this water too. Because now, you know, I'm going against the current. But once he, you know, takes hold of that, I lose control of my boat as well. I can't flip it around and do something special with it with that extra weight like that. And so the current immediately took us and slammed us against that bank, and I went in too. And my paddle went with current as well. But we got him safely to shore. We're soaking wet, obviously, well, so we changed into clothes that we had taken into our bulkheads and what we had. Unfortunately, it wasn't very much. We were young and dumb on a lot of things on this trip. And I was wearing a raincoat as pants, and I think my PFD, my flotation device, was all I had for a shirt. We were running on a lot of adrenaline, and that was keeping us warm and the activity of what we were doing. And we got back on the river. That's all we could do. We were in the middle of nowhere. It was a farm field out there, and it didn't look like there was anything around, and woods. And so we kept going, and things were going okay. The problem was we had to take his paddle, which he did still have, and split it in half because that's all we had. Mine was gone. And so now the kayak is a little half canoe paddle kind of that you're trying to do this with, and you just don't have a whole lot of control, especially with water that's flood stage. And that's really strong current. And so we kept paddling, and we come to this little pond. It's a pond I've known. You know, I grew up in Columbus, so I remember this pond. I've seen people fishing there a lot. There are people out there fishing. And in another young and dumb move, we just keep paddling on. We're going to make it. We're going to make it to our cars. We pass by that little pond and that way out and keep going. And then the river opens up and it becomes bigger. And because there has been significant rains, there's not only like limbs and things down in the water, there's trees with root balls on its side. And there's like a slalom course of these with the current and the flood and all that. Well, long story short, eventually I get pinned against one of these root balls and flipped upside down in my kayak with the water pushing against that, against me and against the kayak and against the root ball. And I pull my spray skirt, it's called, which is, keeps water from getting in the kayak if you would flip over, so I can try to swim out. And by the grace of God, I'm able to swim to the shore and get out. And he was able to pull over to the shore because he was in his kayak. He did not flip yet. And then we walked out into a farm field wearing, you know, rain jacket for our pants and a PFD. And the story goes on and on. Basically, somebody thought we were half crazy and called the police. We had my cell phone, and we called. His cell phone was in a case that was watertight, and we were able to call my parents, who arrived about the same time as the police. Eventually, we all went home. There's more to the story, but here's my point. This story is kind of an allegory for the world. The river is like the world. And it goes on, it keeps going. And we chose to keep going on that river, despite the opportunity that we had to get off that, which was that fishing pond. Had we got out there, my kayak wouldn't have been lost for the night. We would have, you know, saved me being in the water again, a second time, again in December 29th and the cold waters. We would have saved the whole thing with the police coming and on and on and on. We kept going as if the present form of the world would never pass away, that everything would be all right. We just kept heading down the river, despite the warning signs that came. And I think in many ways, that's what Paul is trying to talk about tonight. Don't become too engrossed, he says. I love that phrase. Don't become too engrossed in verse 31 about the world and what it's doing, because it's passing away. You know, my friend and I, we got too engrossed in, hey, this is going to be fine. We're going to be fine. We're all good. We'll keep going on this. This is going to work out the way it is. And of course it didn't. It worked out more like Paul's saying that the present form of the world is passing away, and our lives were as well in danger. I hope that story, I'm sure there's many lessons and things in that story besides the one that I chose, of the allegory of the world. And so maybe that spoke to you, but I felt led to say that tonight. And so trying to be faithful to do that. You guys may be some older folks, fans of John Lennon. He has a song called Watching the Wheels that I really like. In 1980, he left New York and the United States and went to some island and wrote songs. And one of those was Watching the Wheels. And in that song, he has a few lines that I really like that seem to connect with Paul and what he's saying tonight about not becoming too engrossed in the present world and the things that happen. He says, one of the things that he writes about in the song is that the world is accusing him for no longer playing the game, right? No longer being a part of, you know, he's dropping out. He's heading to this island. Why are you supposed to be this spokesman or whatever else he's supposed to be? Another line, don't you miss the big time boy no longer on the ball? And then that he's no longer riding on the merry-go-round. Don't become too engrossed in the things of this world, because the present form is passing away. And so I think it turns out that Paul, who wrote this passage, you know, 2,000 years ago, is coming today with a timely message for the church in all the world, in America, to us, but to everyone that's seeking to follow Christ, and to remind us that whatever engrosses us, whatever engrosses you, remember that it should be seen in the light of the kingdom of God. Whatever topic it is, remember to see it in the light of Christ and Scripture and his teachings. There's another way we could take this, and that is to get off the merry-go-round. You know, sometimes I feel like I just am constantly busy and constantly moving and constantly in motion. And so perhaps another way to think about this is to step off that merry-go-round, to exit the river when God gives us the chance. Obviously, we're called to live in this world. That's why God has placed us here in this time. But don't forget that we're called to live for the next. And that Paul, as Paul promises, the next is coming.